drawn by the light of God's love. In God's eternal realm, peace and hope reign. Let all the people praise God with their deeds and loving kindness. I'd like to invite Pastor Chris up to give today's message.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It is always great to have you guys here worshiping with us. And again, welcome to Canaan. We are glad that you are here. For the past couple of weeks, we have been going through this series called Loving One Another. And we are basing it off of this passage in John chapter 13, 34, 35. It says this: "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We've been talking about what it means to love one another, and I know that love is kind of a pretty vague term. You know, if you go and just tell somebody to love somebody, people can take that in a lot of different ways, and you know, what does that mean? What does that really look like? So as a believer, as a, you know, someone who follows Christ, what does it mean for us to love one another? And so we've been looking kind of specifically, trying to see, you know, what are some specific ways that we can love one another? And we're basing it off this book by Gerald Sister called Love One Another. And we're looking at kind of these different characteristics of this one another-ness. Okay, how can we, you know, love one another in different kind of areas of our lives? How do we kind of look at it? And so for the past 4 weeks, we've looked at these things. The first week we looked at one way that we can love one another is by welcoming each other, by being welcoming, being open, seeing, you know, for newcomers who are coming to our fellowship, our church, that would be open to them, you know, even though they might be different or whatever it is, that we will welcome them. Right? That's one way that we can love each other. Another way is to submit to one another. So that's the one with the animals bowing. Kind of this other idea of submitting to each other or being subject to one another, this idea of putting others first. Seeing that it's not just about me, but it's about, you know, our other people's relationships with them, and how can I, you know, serve them and love them in that way and submit to authority. That's what we kind of talked about. 2 weeks ago, we talked about this idea of forbearing one another. So there's forbearing. This idea that even though people are different, not the same as us, they might rub us the wrong way, and yet we are to bear with them. We're supposed to still love them, even though it might be difficult. And then last week, Pastor Tim preached, and he talked about this idea of forgiving one another, and how we should really, you know, come from when people have hurt us, when people have done wrong to us, how we are supposed to really forgive one another. And today's message kind of goes with the same line of thinking, and it's this idea of confessing sin and praying to one another. And we're going to get into mostly about the confession part, you know, what it means to confess to one another, but then we'll also talk about praying for each other kind of at the end. So just kind of a heads up of what we're going to be talking about. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray one more time, and then we'll get into our message. Just pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much, again, just for this time that we have to get into your word. We thank you that you speak to us, that you have this for us, and that we can just see what it means to really love one another. And so I pray for today as we get into this message about confessing sin and about praying for one another, that you would convict our hearts, that you would reveal to us possible areas that, yeah, we need to be worked on, and how we can really do this and put this into practice. And so we pray for this time that you'd bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is, back in the 1800s-ish to early 19th, there's this guy, F.E. Marsh. He was a theologian, a scholar. He's also a pastor, and he did a lot of guest speaking. He's from the U.K. And he gave this true story, okay, that he shared. So he went to different conferences, and he shared this message, you know, about the need for us to confess sin to one another. And he said that at the end of this message, one of the times that he gave it, this young man kind of came to him and clearly convicted, you know, by the message. And so this guy came to him and he's like, you know, Dr. Marsh, you know, your message really, you know, spoke to me, but I'm really having a hard time, you know, with it. You know, I don't know if I can do this. And so he's like, well, okay, explain, you know, your situation to me. You know, what's going on? And so he says, you see, I am a boat builder, okay? I work for a boat building company, and my boss is not a Christian, but he knows that I am one, okay? And a couple months ago, I started building a boat in my yard, a personal thing for myself. But the cost of material is pretty expensive, especially copper nails. You need to use copper nails to build boats because copper nails don't rust. And so they're really expensive. And so what I've been doing is I've been, you know, after work, I would just go and take copper nails and just take them home with me and use it on my boat. You know, and I've been kind of just, you know, in my own head, you know, saying to myself, okay, I'm not getting paid enough anyways, or, you know, just a bunch of nails, you know, the boss isn't going to miss any of these little missing nails. But he knew that he was stealing, right, and he knew that this message about, hey, you need to go and confess your sin, he's like, oh man, that's really hard, you know, what if I go and I tell my boss, you know, that I've been doing this, and he's going to be like, well, you're, you know, Christian, and you're following that, and look at what you did, you know, how, you know, I'm going to be such a bad witness. You know, I can't do this. But, you know, Dr. Marsh, he encouraged him, hey, you know, go, you know, confess, you know, make it right, make this right. It's eating at you. I can tell. So go. And so he did. He went. He told the boss, you know, the situation. He said, I'm sorry. You know, I've been stealing these nails from work. You know, here's the money. I'm pay for it, you know, because, you know, that's the right thing to do. And the boss is like, you know what? I've always known that you're a hypocrite. But I see that, you know, something about it. You know what? If you, somebody who would be willing to actually do that, to come and confess and actually pay, you know, for what the wrongs that he made, you know, there must be something about this God that you believe in. And so there was a good, you know, an opportunity for him to, you know, be a good witness, even though he had sinned, even though he had messed up. But by going and confessing his sin, you know, to his boss, he was able to be a good witness and show them what it means to be a Christian. So in the same way, I think for us today, the challenge is for us to confess our sins. And so what I want to do is we're going to go around. I'm going to pass the mic around. Everyone's going to confess their sins. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. Okay. But I do want us to really think about, okay, who are some people possibly in our lives in the past, maybe recently, that you have wronged, maybe something that you have sinned against, you know, or even, you know, think about just kind of these broken relationships that you might have, things where, you know, you're probably at fault. And I know in all kind of broken relationships or, you know, tough situations, both sides kind of have at fault. But, you know, what are some things that possibly in your heart God is convicting you, like, hey, you know what, I need to go, you know, there's this person that I've been just holding a grudge against, or there's this person that, you know, I've done wrong, and I just, you know, I haven't told them, or, you know, I'm still kind of hiding it. You know, who possibly, you know, are some of these people that, you know, God might place on your heart that says, you know, I need to go and I need to make right with this person. And that's what we're going to be doing today. And I know this, first of all, that confession is really, really tough. Okay? Confession is really hard because we have to be, we're putting ourselves in this position of being vulnerable, right? A place where we're being judged, possibly, by the other person, a place where, you know, they can condemn us, where they might not forgive us. We're in a difficult position where our reputations might be harmed, right? And I know also as, maybe as Asians, we also have this thing about saving face, and, you know, we don't want to, you know, our honor to our family, and we don't want to, you know, confess sin because that looks bad on us. Or maybe for some of us in the Bay Area, you know, we've worked really, really hard to succeed, and again, there's this idea that, you know, I don't need to confess, you know, I just need to power through or whatever. And it's hard for us sometimes. Our pride kind of gets in the way for us to confess our sins. But today, again, the challenge, all right, for us this morning is to think and to say, okay, where is it? Where in the areas of my life do I need to confess? Okay, and most of it is with people. This is kind of where the message is. Like, are there other people that you need to, you know, confess sins to? But possibly with God as well, right? There are some sins that you have, you know, that God is not pleased with, you know, and perhaps this is a starting point as well for you to say, okay, I need to confess to God first, and also confess to these people. So what does the Bible say about confession? Okay, and it talks about a bunch of different things, and we're going to just kind of hit a couple of different things of how we can, what it means to confess. And so the first passage we're going to look at is in James chapter 5. I have it up on the screen, but again, if you have your Bibles, you can always open them up and follow along. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, and I'm reading from the ESV version. James chapter 5, 13 to 16 says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call to the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. As if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. Now, in this passage and in a couple of others, there seems to be this connection here between our spiritual health and our physical health, and which is kind of interesting, right? And I think we don't often think about it that way, but there is this thing about, you know, how are we, again, if we have sin against others, if we have unconfessed sins, if we have things that are on our hearts that we know isn't pleasing to God, a lot of times that can actually affect our physical health as well. And James is talking kind of about that. You know, some people might be sick, perhaps, because there's some sin that needs to be confessed. And we see this also in the Bible in other areas. One story is with David and Bathsheba. If you guys have grown up in the church, you know this story. If you don't know it, let me really give you a really quick recap of this story. So David is king over Israel, and they're at war against these other nations. But David, not doing his kingly job, he decides to stay home and not go to war, because back then the kings are usually in the front lines. Anyways, he's not doing his job, and instead he's kind of hanging out, doing his own thing. And as he's doing that, he sees this woman taking a bath, and he's like, oh, this woman is amazing. I need to, you know, find out who she is. And so he finds out that she's married, this woman, Bathsheba. She's married. She has a husband. And so in his little conniving plot, he decides to do this. He says, all right, I'm going to send her wife, Uriah, to the battlefront, okay, to the where everything's going on. And he's going to go to the front, and then we're just going to call the troops to, you know, retreat and not tell him, and so that he's going to die. So pretty much he set it up for him to die. So Uriah does die in battle, sent to the front lines. Everyone runs away, and he's there by himself, and he dies. Now after he dies, David goes, and he marries Bathsheba now that she's a widow. And he, you know, he has a kid with her and all that. But there is something about it that's not sitting right with him. Obviously, this is a great sin, and eventually the prophet Nathan comes, you know, kind of says, hey, you know, you sinned, you know, you need to confess, and he does do so eventually, and that, you know, he does get restored in a sense. But this is something he wrote, as if you guys don't know, King David, he wrote this bunch of different psalms, and this is something he wrote in Psalm 32:3. He said this. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. David knew what he had done was wrong, right? But because of his pride, because of not wanting to, you know, confess his sin, you know, he tried to hold off, probably for a year, year and a half, of just trying to hide this and kind of go about it. But afterwards, this is probably reflecting back on this situation. You know, he sees this as a, you know what, I didn't confess, and what happened was my body was wasting away. And I think for some of us, we can kind of relate, not in this situation with David, but this idea of like guilt, right? Sometimes if you have sinned, you know, there is a weight, a burden that gets placed on us. You know, if you've hurt somebody and you know you're wrong, a lot of times that can eat away at you. And physically, you can actually get sick. You're more tired, more depressed. It can lead to a lot of different things. And there is something to be said about this power of actually confessing our sins. This power of saying, you know what, admitting your fault, you know, coming clean. And once you do that, that there is healing that can come from it. That there's a restoration that happens through it. And so, again, for us, the kind of this the idea that, you know, possibly, you know, our physical health can be related to sin. Now, quick caveat, again, not all physical ailments are because of sin. And Jesus said that in another passage, you know, where there's a lame man and people are like, oh, who did it? I think it was a blind man. And the disciples and people are like, oh, who sinned? Was it his dad or mom that sinned? That's why he's blind. And he's like, no, that's just human nature. Sometimes people are sick, all right? But again, the other side of it is there is possibly some guilt, right, that can happen and can weigh against you. So physical and spiritual health kind of go hand in hand for us to keep that in mind, all right? The second thing about sin or confession that I want us to talk about is that it is important for us to take care of it right away, right? To not to put it off, not to say, you know what, you know, I'm just going to wait until maybe the other person comes and, you know, and talks to me first or anything like that. But, you know, for us to take action, to take immediate action, to go and confess our sins. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this. He says, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. Be first reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Kind of an interesting thing here, and I think it shows kind of the priority of what Jesus is asking us to do, is he's saying, you know what, it is more important for us to be right with our brothers and sisters. It is more important for us to make sure our relationships are good, that if we have sinned against somebody or, you know, we have kind of these relationships that are just hurting, it's more important. God would rather you make those things right first than to give money to the church, right? Than to offer sacrifices, than to serve in the church, than to do all these things. You know, he's saying priority is your relationships to one another. You know, I would rather have those right and healthy than you trying to do all this stuff for me. You know, I don't need those things, you know. I want you guys to be a good witness and to really love one another in that way, right? And so this morning, and this might be kind of a weird challenge, but, you know, after the message, we're going to have offering time, and perhaps some of you guys have some offering that you had thought about giving. The challenge is this, you know, if there are, again, some relationships that aren't right yet, don't give today. You know, hold on to that. Go and make it right first. You know, go and talk to that person, whoever it is, that might need that reconciliation. And make that right first, and then next week come back and give. But, you know, for us to do that, kind of this idea of, hey, this is a priority. Again, God really desires for us to make those relationships right. Now, like I said before, a lot of times it takes both sides to make things right. And Paul says this in Romans 12:18. He says, if possible, so as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And what he's kind of saying here is, a lot of times for us, right, we can only do our part, okay? So perhaps, again, there are some of you who are in kind of a broken relationship, and you go and you're trying to make things right with this other person, whoever it is, but they refuse, you know, they don't want your forgiveness, they don't want anything to do with you, they won't listen to you or anything like that. You know what? So far, as long as you have done your part and you're trying, you're really honest and open and you're forgetting, you know, asking for repentance and all that stuff, perhaps sometimes, you know, there's time for us to just say, all right, you know what, that relationship might be broken and, you know, there's no healing that can come from it. Hopefully you can, but sometimes, again, you can only do so much. So this idea is, you know what, just because you have broken relationships, as long as you're trying to make them right, okay, the other person needs to respond. If they're not going to respond, hey, you've done your part. You can continue to go and try to continue to serve, continue to give, continue to do those things, right? Don't make that as an excuse. Like, oh, I have all these broken relationships. They're not making right, so I'm just going to not do anything at all, right? Again, do your part, right? Think about those things. Do your part. Go out of your way. make it right, try to make it right as best as you can, try to be at peace with all men. All right? So it's important for us to take initiative, to do it right away, right? There's healing that comes from that. Now, one of the things I want to talk about, confession, the third thing, is this, okay? Confession isn't just about us going around and just blah, and just saying everything to everyone about all the deepest, darkest sins that we have, okay? There is such a thing, and I believe, as a TMI in our relation, in confession, okay? Sometimes we don't need to hear all the details, okay? Sometimes all you need to do is to confess, you know, the core issue, what it is, and that's it, okay? So, for example, if someone, you know, if you were in a, hopefully not, but if you were in an affair with somebody, you don't need to get into all the details of, you know, what you did and all that stuff, right? We don't need to know. Just know that, you know, you have sinned, you know, what that sin is specifically. But, you know, we don't need to get into all of those details, okay, when it comes to confessing your sins to one another. There is such a thing, I believe, as too much information. Also, I don't think that means for us just to go around again and just be like to the person you meet, hey, how are you? Let me tell you about my sins. You know, I need to, you know, get this off my chest. You know, that's not the right way to go about being a good witness either. Okay. So we need to be wise, again, in how we confess to one another. It is important to do so. But again, you know, make sure that you're doing it in a wise way. You don't want to cause other people to stumble in the way as you're kind of confessing your sins either. And so kind of think about, you know, how you go about doing it, to do it kind of in a wise way. So no need to get into too much detail, right? But tell people, confess it, right? If you hurt somebody, go and tell them. Confess it. All right. The next thing I want us to encourage you guys to do as we talk about the confession of our sins is that understand that confession is only the starting point to anything that we get into, okay? Confession is where we begin, but it's not the end goal. Okay, the end goal for people when they come and they confess their sin is to be able to restore them back into a relationship, you know, with one another, to be able to restore them back into that relationship with God. And so I think a lot of times it's easy for people to possibly just be like, you know what, I confess my sin, and that's that, and I'm done, and that's it. And they kind of leave, and that's it. But instead, it takes time, it takes effort to kind of rebuild whatever was broken. And we need to be mindful of that, that, hey, you know what, as we go and as we have these broken relationships, as we're trying to mend these things, you know, it's good to go confess, to say, hey, you know, I've done this, I've hurt you in this way, I'm sorry, you know, will you forgive me? But not just to end it at that and that's it, you know, and I move on. But let's see what else we can do now to rebuild it, to make it stronger, you know, to get past this hurt, and let's move forward together. Okay, so confession is only the beginning. It is a starting point to rebuilding relationships, but it's not the end, right? So start there, go, you know, talk, rebuild that. And this is where we come into this idea of praying for one another. I mean, what does it really mean for us to pray for each other? This is where that loving kind of aspect comes in, right? When people come to you, when people come with their sins, with their, you know, junk in their, you know, all the in their past or whatever it is, their baggage that they have, you know, how are we to respond to them, you know? And we are supposed to respond to them with love. We are supposed to respond to them in prayer. And we are supposed to respond to them in trying to encourage and build them back up, okay? So confession is one part of it, but prayer is the thing that goes hand in hand with it. The first thing I want to encourage you guys to do when it comes to prayer is that we need to just do it. Okay, it's very Nike-ish, but just do it. I think it's really, really easy for people to do this, right? When people share, and sometimes in our small groups, or sometimes, you know, in passing, we ask each other, you know, how are you guys doing, or whatever, and maybe somebody does share something, you know, their struggles or the things that they're working on, and it's really easy for us to just say, you know what, okay, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then we go home and we don't pray for them at all. Right, we just forget, and like, oh yeah, I was supposed to pray for somebody, I forgot what it was. And the challenge for us, I think, is, you know what, if you say you're going to pray for somebody, pray for them. And the best way to do it is to do it right there and then, you know, we just say, you know what, let me pray for you right now. Even though you might be, we're in the middle of something, we need to go somewhere, whatever it is, take a minute, 30 seconds, whatever it is, you know, I'm just going to pray for you right now and pray for them. You know, so don't delay it. Do it right away. Again, kind of same thing with confession. If somebody comes and you need to confess right away, pray for them right away, right? Pray right away. And so don't just put it off. It's really, really easy for us to kind of go around just saying, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then not really do it. Another reminder for us, and this kind of ties into last week's message, but there's this need for us to pray for those who have hurt us, to pray for those who have done the wrong to us. Right, Jesus says, love your enemies, and not just to love them, but pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who have hurt you in the past. Pray for those who have wronged you. And I know that's really difficult for us to do, especially if we're like, hey, I'm not at fault, right? They're the ones who have hurt me. But by praying for the ones who have hurt us, it changes our own hearts. It changes our own attitude towards them. And we're not praying that God would bring destruction upon them, you know, but Jesus actually says to pray blessing upon your enemies, to actually say, hey, you know what, God bless these people. And that's such a difficult thing to say, you know, like, you've hurt me, God bless you. But, you know, that's kind of this idea for us to say, you know what, I'm going to change my heart, my attitude, my way of coming with these people who have hurt us, to hurt me. No, and I'm going to pray for them. You know, I'm going to do my part in doing that. And so pray for your enemies, okay? Pray for those who have hurt you. Again, you're thinking about these relationships that are broken, and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I'm at fault, but you know, they've done a lot of wrong too. You know, they've done all these things. Instead of trying to focus on those things that they've done wrong to you, pray for them. You know, pray for those who have hurt you. Kind of the last thing I want to challenge you guys to do in this prayer is this, is a lot of times prayer can become gossip, and this is a big challenge to say, hey, you know what, don't fall into this trap, okay? Don't fall into this trap of prayer gossip, right? Is it really prayer gossip? And somebody did this little comic, and so I'll share it with you guys. It's called Prayer Gossip, okay? So there's these two gals there, and one person meets the other and says, hey, you know, can you please pray for Jenny? You know, she asked me to keep her and her husband in prayer. They have some others to pray for them as well. They're having some big marital issues. And so they says this. And then this other girl says, oh, sure, I'd be happy to. Wow, Jenny did. I never would have guessed. Oh, how bad is it? You know, did he cheat on her? I bet he cheated on her. Or is it porn? I bet he's drinking. Or once I used to hear he's a big drinker. Oh, why didn't I, you know, change jobs a year ago? Is this a money issue? Does she not like her hair as much? Does she want to? Anyway, she goes on and on and on. All these things, right? You know, started hating. You gotta give me the details, right? Give me the juicy, juicy details of all these things. You know, seriously, I need to know. Seriously. You know, why? Right? So, you know, I can pray for them better. Okay, no. All right. So don't use time of kind of confession or time of this as a time of gossip. And I think it's really easy for us to fall into that trap, you know, just kind of talking about, oh, did you hear? You know, let's pray for them, right? But not really. It's more about just sharing, you know, what people are going through and stuff like that, that they might not want to share. So when it comes to prayer, again, the point of it, you know, is to build one another up, right? Not for us to go try to gossip. Prayer is also not a time just to vent. I think a lot of times people do it just to like complain about people. I want to pray for, again, Jenny or whatever it is, you know, because they're so, you know, so inconsiderate, and they're so horrible, and they're judgmental, and all. And we start just complaining about them as we're praying for them. Yeah, please pray God that you change their hearts. It's really us just, you know, being angry with them. That is not prayer. Okay, that is not prayer. That's just, you know, again, judging others through the lens of prayer. And so the goal, again, the goal of all of this, the goal of confession, right, the goal of praying for one another is to restore this relationship, to restore this broken relationships with one another, because that is what God really, really desires for each one of us to do. Passage again, the real beginning that we read says, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I have never been to an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, okay? I've never been to one, but from what I've seen on TV and movies, I don't know how realistic they are, but what I've seen about that, what they do, right, a lot of times in the shows, right, the first thing they do, right, is they need to admit it, right? They say, hi, my name is fill in the blank, and, you know, I'm an alcoholic, right? And then they say, hi, you know, welcome, whatever it is. And then they go on to kind of share, you know, whatever it is that's on their heart. I think in the same way, in a sense, we need to do that with one another. And when it comes to sin, and to understand, hey, when we look at our lives, you know, that we are all kind of broken people. I think the really cool thing about us being able to be honest and open with one another is that it's just not about us being vulnerable and, you know, letting people in. But a lot of times when we do that, the other people start to open up as well. I meet up with a group of pastors once a month. And we, you know, pray for one another, and we, you know, pray for our churches and stuff like that. And it's pretty cool because, you know, we're all human. We struggle through different things. We all struggle through things. And a lot of times when people share, you know, other people are like, you know what, you know, I understand. You know, I'm going through that same thing. You know, I have those same struggles. And it's a great time, a place where once somebody's kind of more open and vulnerable, kind of with their sins, that other people would open up. And that could be a great time of just healing, of people really supporting one another, of really praying for one another, encouraging one another, building each other up. And I really hope that that's what we can do, right? That we would be a place, a community, where we're not going around, again, just judging people and just, oh, you guys are all sinners and you're horrible people. But we're really, you know, we are all broken. We are all in need of a Savior. We're thankful that God does forgive us, and, you know, let's forgive one another, and let's pray for each other, and let's, you know, confess, and let's be open and honest. And so this morning I want to, you know, say that, you know, hi, my name is Chris. I'm a sinner. You know, I have done things, I have said things, I have thought things, my actions, my attitudes have not been what God always wants me to be. You know, I am a sinner. I am broken. Things of my past that I regret doing. And yet I'm so thankful, because God has forgiven me. I'm so thankful for His grace and His mercy. And I pray and I ask that you guys would pray for me, that you guys would support me, that you would be here and walk with me as I continue to grow in my faith. Right? And I want to do the same for you, that I will be here for you, that you can be open and honest, you can share whatever things you are with me, and that I can walk with you, pray for you, support you, you know, that we can be this community that is really just kind of open and vulnerable and yet supporting each other in this way. Can we do that? Let's do that. I want to pray, but then I know we're also this prayer. Let's go ahead and can we do this prayer thing first? Can you switch the slides? So there's this kind of response that we wanted us to kind of do first, and then I'll pray, and then I'll ask the worship team to come up. So I'm going to read this leader part, and then there's the people part that you guys can respond with. Let's say, Lord, you know how easy it is for us to sit here tethered to our darkness and fear. We get bound up by our chains of mistrust. We are not unlike those disciples who wondered also, who feared. Help us open our eyes to the good news of your eternal glory. Give us to visions of the place in which love and hope will reign. Amen. Let me pray, and then I'll ask the worship team guys to come up. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we can come here before you as broken people, knowing that you still love us. We thank you that, you know, we don't have to be perfect. We're striving to be like you, and that's a long, long process. But, you know, along the way, we will continue to fail, we'll fall, we'll continue to, you know, have sins against one another. And I just pray that you'd help us to truly be open and honest about, just again, these areas in our lives that need to be, you know, asked for forgiveness, to repent. We pray for those broken relationships that we might have in our lives, and I pray that you'd give us boldness to really go and just to make things right with those that we have hurt, that we would do it right away, that we wouldn't wait, and that we would be able to restore these broken relationships. And we pray for this community of believers again, that we would be able to really be open and honest with one another, that we can really walk with one another and just say, you know what, we're sinners, but and we need God, we need you, Jesus, but we're thankful we have each other, that we can be open and support one another and pray for one another. And we pray that we would do that, that we would make the most of those times that we spend together to pray for each other, to build one another up. So we thank you again. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for, again, all that he's done on the cross. That's why we can come before you and we worship you and praise you. And we thank you again for your grace and mercy. And we extend that same grace and mercy to those around us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.